Gabriella's got bandages on her face, stitches in her forehead, wearing Doc Martens, camo cargo pants, a black t-shirt with the words "Bullets Can't Hurt Me" on the front in iron-on letters.
You look like Che Guevara's little sister.
Yeah, I just need a red beret and I'm all set. Most of my clothes went up with the hotel.
The second floor is mostly empty. It's a massive loft space with hanging barn lights. Boxes stacked on the sides. Men with rifles patrolling the blacked-out windows. She's cordoned off a space that looks like a tactical command center. Radios, computers, whiteboards plastered with maps of LA. Guys on phones are jotting down notes, putting pins into the maps.
I've got my crew scouring the city for this guy. You said you have a name?
Sergei Gusarov.
She stops, turns to look at me.
You're fucking kidding me.
Am I like the only person who hasn't heard of this guy?
Probably. Guy's an asshole. He was the main reason Griffin was able to hang on to the Russians that he had. Russian mob would try to shut Griffin down and he'd send Sergei. Lots of horror stories about that guy. Effective, but not smart. You sure it's him?
That's what the wind tells me.
Okay, back up. The wind?
Had a conversation with the Santa Anas.
Maybe you should fill me in a little. Let's start with after I lost you at the hotel.
I tell her what happened at the electronics store. The demons, the runes, the blocked magic. I gloss over how I got out, skipping over Tabitha completely. I want to keep her out of this as much as possible. I tell Gabriella I was able to get through the door and get enough power to take the demons down.
I figured they'd killed you.
Figured the same about you.
Almost did. That little monster girl threw me through a plate glass window across the street. But I was so tapped I knew I couldn't take them. I had to cut and run. Managed to give them the slip. Sorry about that.
Hey, you got me out of a burning building. More than most people would do. After I got out, I tried to think of a way to track down the Russian. I suck at divination, and with what he knows from Kettleman, I didn't figure casting bones was going to do it, and Kettleman's ghost didn't give me a lot of hope of getting anything useful. So I started thinking about alternatives.
I fill her in on the rest. My conversation with the Santa Anas, getting Sergei's name, the orb.
Damn. And you're not on fire? Somebody invokes the Santa Anas and we at least get a red flag warning. I haven't even noticed a dry wind tonight.
I kind of promised I'd burn something else, but I'm not sure LA won't be on fire by morning.
It thinks you're special?
Something like that.
From all that King business it was going on about, I'm sure it seemed to. She gives me a look I can't quite read, like she's waiting for more. So I change the subject.
Why'd you drop the Bruja as old hag facade?
It's been a long time coming. I set up the Bruja before I got out of college, bought the hotel, and built that place up from a rat-infested mess with shit plumbing and a junky squatter in every room. I've defended it, I've fought for it.
And now it's gone.
And the Bruja disguise with it. People have been poking around my operation more, getting bolder. Last year, some asshole even managed to get the LAPD onto me.
That's kind of out of bounds. Another mage did that?
No, some lawyer on La M.A.'s payroll put a bug in somebody's ear. Took some doing, but I got the investigation closed, and then I sent the lawyer's bosses a message to back the fuck off.
A message?
His head in a bag. Point is, not that long ago, I didn't need to do that shit. The disguise isn't scaring people the way it used to. So I figure, with the hotel gone, I gotta start over anyway. Might as well start fresh.
Not a simple thing to do.
No, but I've got the same goal I've always had. And it starts with that orb. You sure it'll track Sergei?
That's what the winds tell me. Gets brighter as he gets closer. The glow points in his direction.
I hand it to her. She rolls it around in her hands. Walks around the room.
Any idea how bright it gets?
No clue. I think it's safe to assume he isn't too close.
Okay. This is good. Hey, Emilio. Can you do some math on this thing?
She hands it to a stocky Latino guy with thinning hair and a handlebar mustache. Who takes the orb and looks it over.
You want to try and triangulate him? Might need to drive around a little. Okay if I take it?
Sure.
Whoa, now, hang on.
I grab the orb out of Emilio's hands.
That's my only way to find the guy, and it's kind of expensive. So, sorry, but I'm not about to hand it off to somebody I've never met before.
Emilio, this is Eric. Eric, Emilio. Now you've met. Better?
No.
An hour tops, Chief. Seriously, probably less. Just gonna drive around a bit with a couple of the guys and map some stuff out.
I'm gonna need a lot more convincing before I hand this thing off to anybody.
What'd you pay for this?
None of your business.
Fair enough. I'm not gonna ask if you trust me, but I am gonna ask if you want to find this guy without having to drive all over town the rest of the night.
She has a point. I need to find Sergei, and if her guy can get a fix on him quickly, I might have a chance of getting him before he's on the move again. I hand it back to Emilio.
I'm not really comfortable with this. If I don't get that back, I'm gonna be really pissed off.
Duly noted.
Thanks, Chief.
Emilio leaves with a couple of others.
We're on the same side here.
No, we're not. We've got some overlapping goals, that's it. But I don't know you, and you don't know me, and I'm sure as hell not part of your brave new world here. I'm sorry if I'm a little paranoid, but when I've run into other mages lately, they have this annoying habit of trying to kill me. I'm here because McPhee said you needed to see me. So, what do you need to see me about?
Gabriella flops into a plastic chair.
I was going to share what we knew, which isn't much. Mostly where he's not. Been looking for Kettleman, but he's pretty much gone to ground. I hear from McPhee that's because of you.
Yeah, I had him spread the word that he's dead. I hear it's helped.
If by helped, you mean anybody who sees him freaks out so he's not showing himself, sure. Nobody's seen him since the other night.
What about the crew he had?
Now that we know it's Sergei, that'll be easier. I can get some names and see if we can find him that way. You know I'm not trying to kill you.
Yeah, I know. You were, though. That kind of sticks with the guy.
I thought you were somebody else. Look, we both have a goal here. Finding Sergei and taking him down. We both have our reasons, and we could both use some friends.
I look around at everybody in the room. They're all doing things. On the phone, checking on leads, cleaning weapons, patrolling the windows. She's got at least 50 people here.
It looks like you've got plenty of friends.
I've got a crew of normals. They've known me for years as the Bruja's secretary. Right hand to some shadowy old hag in the attic who'll shrivel your balls off if you look at her funny. The minute I went public with who I really am, half of them up and left. And now some of the ones who are still here are starting to question me. I don't exactly have the look they were expecting.
Sexism is alive and well in America. What about the vampires?
Bailed. Building up trust with them again is gonna be tough. I'm on tenuous ground and I don't want to see everything I've built disintegrate at my feet. Pretty soon La Eme is gonna come calling again. Or the Armenians, or the Israelis, or the Chinese. I could use some friends. And I know you can too.
I'm doing just fine.
Really? Bouncing from hotel to hotel? Stealing cars? Ex-girlfriend hates you? Darius won't talk to you? Last I heard, your best friend had his soul eaten and you had to shoot him in the head. Yeah, you're doing great on the friend front.
Okay, yes, I've burned a couple bridges.
Burned? Dude, you napalmed the fuck out of them. I'm not asking for any kind of partnership. I'm just saying that we're better off being friendly with each other.
She's right, of course. I've lost a lot of people. Lost them before I even came back to town. I could use some friends. There's McPhee, but really he's not a friend. And Tabitha... I'm not really sure what Tabitha is. I stick my hand out.
I promise I won't try to kill you.
She takes it and gives it a shake.
That's a start. So what were you thinking of as a next move?
Use the orb to track Sergei down and then feed him his own intestines. Between that and your operation here, we should be able to find him. What about Darius? Can he help?
When I asked him after the knife was stolen, he said he didn't want to get involved and wouldn't tell me what he meant. And now the hotel's gone. The door's gone. I can't get to him.
Well, why don't you... Oh... You don't know about the other doors.
That gets her attention and has me wondering what I can do with this new bonus bargaining chip.
What other doors?
I think I'll hang on to that little tidbit.
I thought we were friends.
Promising not to kill each other isn't the same thing.
See, this is the problem. This is why the world's so fucked up. Nobody trusts anybody. Not every mage is an asshole, you know.
Really? That your experience? Sure as hell isn't mine.
Has it occurred to you that it's because you're one of the assholes?
God damn it. Closest one is the last stall of the men's room in the lobby at Union Station. On the wall.
Gabriella grins.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
You have no idea. You need certain runes to unlock the door, and if you don't know which ones, I'm not showing you.
Hey, I gave you one of my magic hand grenades. Pulled your ass out of a burning building. Doesn't that count for something?
Let's find Sergei, and then we'll talk about it.
Fair enough.
Now, I doubt Sergei's sitting around waiting for us to come for him. I still don't get what the hell he's trying to do.
It's a power grab, and with you involved, probably a big one.
Yeah, I get that, but there's more going on here. You said it yourself, Sergei's not that smart. Did he get smarter by absorbing Kettleman? Is this really Kettleman's plan?
The knife doesn't work that way. You get memories and mannerisms and a look, sure, but it doesn't change you. Not like that, at least.
Are you sure? You've used it, haven't you?
Embarrassment crawls across her face.
Yes. No, I'm not happy about it. I did it because I had to.
She clearly doesn't want to talk about it, but I need to know what this thing can really do. I show her the ring on my finger. Right now, it's red gold with little calaveras etched into the surface.
Not exactly in a position to judge here.
Guess you're not. La Eme came at me when I was just starting the hotel. They were screwing with my people, threatening me. Whoever they threw at me, I sent packing. So they send this enforcer up from Mexico, Julio Bautista. Almost killed me. I got the drop on him, and I figured if I could use the knife on him, I could use what he knew to keep them out of my hair.
Did it work?
Yeah. He knew a lot. I fucked with their people, their drug supply chain, even got a bunch of them in jail. We finally reached a truce of sorts.
You might be one of the scariest people I've ever met. So you can change into this guy? The way Sergei changes into Kettleman? That's gotta be...
Weird? Yes. Knowing what it's like to have a penis really is something I could have lived my whole life without.
Right, okay, I'm not sure what to do with that information. Moving on, so you've got some Mexican mafia assassin floating around in your head?
Yes. No, sort of. I know what he knows. New, whatever. Can we talk about something else?
No, though we can't skip the part about the guy's junk. You know what Sergei can do more than I do. I heard him when he was wearing Kettleman, and when he changed back, he was fine. What happens if we kill him when he's using the other skin? Does he know what Kettleman knows when he's not Kettleman? Can he cast when he's back to being Sergei?
It's like wearing a suit. It doesn't change you, it just sits on top of you. Makes what you say come out the way that person says it. Mannerisms, facial tics, that kind of thing. Julio only spoke Spanish, for example. I can understand English when I'm him, but I can't speak it. So Sergei knows what Kettleman knows when he's being Kettleman. Other times, it's like trying to remember something you read in a book. And he can't cast. At least, I can't cast when I'm wearing Julio.
What about getting hurt?
I'm not sure. I've only been hurt once when I was wearing Julio, and that was the last time. Hurt like a son of a bitch, but when I switched back to me, I was fine. I haven't tried going back. That was about 4 years ago.
When Sergei showed up at the hotel as Kettleman, he looked fine. So maybe the skin heals when you're not wearing it?
I don't know what to tell you. Julio took a double-barreled 12-gauge to the abdomen. I'm not about to try him on again to find out.
Can't blame her for that. Something about how this whole thing works is gnawing at me.
So this knife belongs to some corn god?
God of agriculture, Xipetotec. And that's just one possibility. There are a lot of others. Could be any of a dozen different ones. Could be none of them. Could have been made by some guy a couple thousand years ago and a story got attached to it. Why?
Let's assume Sergei's too stupid to do this on his own. And let's assume he's coming after me as some sort of Santa Muerte power grab. What if our shot caller's another god?
That is so not something I want to think about.
I'm not crazy about it either, but how did Sergei know about the knife? How does anybody know about the knife? It's been hidden in your family for generations. He didn't just stumble on it.
Well, people can find these things, you know. There are stories about it. You do enough detective work and you can find anything.
You honestly believe that?
Well, it's better than thinking I'm stuck in the middle of a divine pissing contest. Say you're right. What do we do? Kill Sergei? You think that'll end it?
You think it'll end if it's another mage behind this?
No, but a mage is just another person, and I can kill another person. Look, I don't know if you're right or not, and I really hope you're not, but I don't think it matters right now. Look at it this way. If we take down Sergei, it might flush out whoever is behind it into the open. And if we're wrong, and it's Sergei working on his own, then problem solved.
Can't fault that logic. But we still need to find him.
I can help with that.
Emilio comes up the stairs with the orb in one hand and a laptop in the other.
So we drove around a while with the GPS, and I plugged data into this mapping software, and basically, he's in Koreatown.
Oh, that's not good.
Why?
That dead friend who showed up at the hotel to warn me about the attack was Alex Kim. He used to own a bar in Koreatown. Had an ebony cage under the floorboards that he was siphoning magic from and bottling.
I know that place. I used to buy from him every once in a while. Stuff's handy to have around. Always wondered how he did it. You think Sergei's after the cage?
Don't know. But the fact he's in K-Town's awful coincidental. If he is, and he gets a hold of it, that could be a problem. With that much power at his fingertips and Kettleman's knowledge, there's no telling what he can do with it.
And if he is after the cage, then maybe the woman who came after me on the train wasn't tracking me. Maybe she was checking the bar out, and I happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You know where in K-Town, Emilio?
Somewhere around the Wilshire in Normandy, or thereabouts. Give or take a few blocks.
That's the bar, all right. I'd bet on it.
I pull out my phone, punch Tabitha's number. The bar doesn't close for another hour. She might be there working.
We can't throw everybody at him, not in public, but we can come close. Emilio, I want 20 guys, 5 cars. Make sure everybody's got a radio and an AK. We'll have a few go inside and the rest will wait outside in case he gets out.
We're not going in there, guns blazing.
Can't get to my phone right now. Please leave a message.
Tabitha's phone goes to voicemail. If Sergei really is there and he's gotten to her, she might already be part of his skin suit collection. The thought makes my stomach turn, and I shove it back into a back corner of my mind. I hang up without leaving a message.
If we miss him...
Bar's still open. There are still people there. You think he's going to look like himself or like Kettleman? Who are you going to shoot? Everybody? No. Besides, there might be people I know there, and I'd really rather they not get hit.
If he's there, they might already be dead. We have a better chance of ending this if we shoot everybody.
Now who's the asshole? Compromise. Same plan, but just you and me go in. You'll have people on radios outside. We find him, you tell him what he looks like. When we flush him out, they take him. When this goes down, you know the cops are going to show up pretty goddamn fast. That gives your crew a better chance to get away. You're out of the closet now, Bruja. They get picked up, you have a lot more to lose.
I can tell she wants to argue with me, but that last bit stops her. Her biggest defense was hiding behind the Bruja facade. Kept her safe from the normals, at least. If things got hairy, the Bruja could conveniently die. But now that she's come clean, she's got no buffer. It's her people who are going to keep her alive more than anything else.
Emilio, cut that down to 2 cars and 8 people. Have them follow us to the bar.
I didn't think it was possible, but the bar is even more garish at night than it is during the day. Neon lights and flashing bulbs. It looks more like a strip club.
The place certainly is... something.
Ain't it, though?
Is it as bad on the inside?
I have no idea. It was a lot more goth the last time I was inside. How's the orb doing?
Lit up like a Christmas tree.
She shows it to me. One side of it glows deep amber, shifting as we pass the bar. He's in there, all right. The cars with Gabriella's men behind us split off and take up positions around the bar. We park a block away. Bar doesn't close for another half hour, but most of the crowd's let out already. I check the Browning, make sure our round's chambered. Gabriella pulls out the machete.
So, we're not going for the subtle approach then?
The minute we walk in there, he's gonna know. Probably has other people inside too. I'd really prefer it if you just let me blow the place up.
That's an even worse idea.
The ebony cage is made out of living demons, their bones twisted and wrenched into impossible shapes. Who knows how long these ones have been trapped in it?
You ever seen an ebony cage break? That thing so much is cracked, we're gonna have worse things to worry about than a crazy Russian with a knife.
That bad?
You want a bunch of pissed off demons running rampant through K-Town? I sure as hell don't want to have to clean up that mess.
Let's get this over with then.
It's only been a few months since I've been inside the bar, but it feels like a lifetime ago. The charms and wards Alex installed in the front door to help ease patrons into spending more money and not starting fights are still carved into the door jamb. I can feel their telltale buzz against my skin as I step through. The bouncer I saw last time I was here is gone, but there's an empty stool by the door for him. The inside of the bar isn't any better than the outside. I'm assaulted by a blast of K-pop coming through the wall speakers, dance videos playing on monitors scattered throughout the room. Tabitha and Vivian have really gone out of their way to pull in a younger crowd. Though the evening is winding down, some of them are still dancing in the middle of the room, while a couple of tired bartenders handle last call. Most of the customers are Asian, and none of them look like they're part of Sergei's crew. Too young, too drunk, too pretty. The layout of the bar is mostly as it used to be. Multiple bars and stages all pointing toward the center of the room. But the chairs and tables are arranged differently. Before, they'd been bolted down to keep them in place, to enforce a kind of feng shui to funnel the emotional energy of the bar patrons toward the ebony cage for the demons to feed on. Later, Alex would siphon off the magic they pissed out and sell it by the bottle. Now they're just regular chairs and tables. No sign that they're designed for anything other than sitting in.
The cage isn't here!
What? You sure?
Layout's changed! Alex had it specially designed! So either they moved the cage or did a remodel without realizing it was important. But I know for a fact they knew about it. At least Vivian did.
Focus! We're here for Sergei. Cage isn't our problem.
She looks down at the orb, moves it a little.
That way!
She points to a hallway next to the main bar.
There's an office and a storage room back there, and a back door.
Knowing Sergei is here and not knowing where he is has me jumpy. But there's something else about this that's bugging me and I can't place it.
Okay. Emilio, you got that?
I got it. We got a car in the back and we're pulling another into the lot. Anybody comes through, what do you want us to do?
Don't suppose I can just shoot them.
I'd rather you didn't.
Keep them from leaving. If they look like they'll be a problem, then shoot them.
Got it.
Notice there's no bouncer? That strike you as a little odd?
I have expect one to step out of a corner and stop us on our way to the back, but it doesn't happen. Even the two bartenders are so focused on last call, they don't notice us going back there. At the office door, Gabriella shows me the orb. Bright as a flashlight, and the glow is very clearly pointing at the door. I can't hear anything inside over the music coming from the bar. Neither of us wants to set off a spell just yet and alert him, but I've got a shield in mind ready to fire off. I draw the Browning and put my hand on the doorknob. Gabriella lifts the machete high over her head.
Do me a favor and don't take my head up with that thing.
No promises.
I throw the door open, stepping aside so Gabriella can run in past me. Tabitha is sitting behind her desk, a man standing next to her. I've seen him before. He was the bar's bouncer when Alex ran the place.
Eric, what are you doing here?
The glow in the orb is a white-hot point, clearly singling out the bouncer as Sergei. And if that wasn't enough, the minute Gabriella gets past me, he changes. I expect the Russian's face and prison tattoos, but instead, he throws off the bouncer's form and changes into Kettleman as easily as a dog shaking off water. Tabitha jumps out of her chair in surprise when the bouncer turns into a 60-year-old man, his clothes hanging on him like a scarecrow. Gabriella swings the machete down at him, but he pivots at the last second and the blade swings through empty air. He brings a fist up and I think he's going to punch her. But as it gets near her, a red glow springs around it and ropes of light wrap themselves around her. Her arms are pinned, the machete useless at her side. He follows up with a knee into her abdomen and she doubles over. The orb falls from her fingers and shatters on the floor like a snow globe. A lance of fire snaps out of his fingers at me. I duck to the side and the door behind me explodes into splinters. He changes tactics and grabs Tabitha. The glow around his hand intensifies.
Can you shoot me before I kill her?
I'm willing to give it a try.
I say it, but I know I'm not. There's no way I'm going to make that shot before he can kill her. And if I miss, there's no way I won't hit her.
What the hell is going on, Eric?
It's all good. I'll get you out of this.
Really? Let's find out.
He steps from behind the chair and moves toward me and the door, using Tabitha as a human shield.
Let her go and I won't kill you.
You fucking better! Otherwise, I sure as hell will.
Seems the young lady disagrees with you. How about you, dear? Do you think he should take his shot, Tabitha?
Eric, who the hell is this person?
It'll be fine. We're working this out.
I back away to make room for him to pass. I still have my gun on him, but I don't trust myself not to hit Tabitha. He backs through the door, Tabitha still between us.
I'm very sorry about this, dear, but I can't have Mr. Carter following me. I'm sure you understand.
She stumbles, starts to run toward me, and he lets loose a lance of fire from his fingers that hits her in the back, blowing a basketball-sized hole through the front of her chest. Tabitha, standing in front of me, her chest a blown-out cavity, drops to the floor. Blood and flesh, bits of bone spraying out in front of her, covering my shirt, splattering my face. I can see shredded bone and destroyed organs. I can smell the stink of burnt flesh. My vision narrows until all I can see is her lying on the floor in front of me, face down with a hole in her you could drive a truck through. Sergei morphs into his own body, his clothes too tight around him, and he bolts out the door and down the hall. The spell holding Gabriella in place evaporates and she scrambles to go after him.
God damn it, he's getting away!
I run to Tabitha, fall to my knees. Blood is spreading across the floor. The heart that should be pumping it, completely destroyed. I can't think of what to do. I turn her over. Her eyes are blinking, mouth working as she tries to pull in air to fill lungs that aren't there anymore. Part of my brain wants to try CPR, but there's no chest to do compressions on. No heart to start.
I need help here.
Tabitha grabs my hand, not quite dead yet. She hangs on to it as tight as she can, eyes going in and out of focus. Gabriella looks at Tabitha on the floor, shakes her head.
There's nothing to do, Carter. I'm not letting him get away.
She runs after Sergei. When Tabitha dies, she's gone. Her hand loosens in mine. The light fades in her eyes and it's all over. She doesn't leave behind a ghost. A lot of people don't. She's off to wherever she's supposed to go. Dead like my parents. Like my sister. Like Alex. She's gone. And I'm not gonna let that fucking happen. I know rationally that Gabriella's right. There's nothing I can do. But I keep going through every spell I know anyway. My magic doesn't heal. I can't stitch people up or put their hearts back together or mend broken bones. But as I'm trying to remember every little trick I've learned, anything that might help, something inside me perks up. That dark power I felt in the electronics store with the demons. For whatever reason, it's awake and I have its attention. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it can do, but it's alive and inside me, and it wants out.
All right, you son of a bitch. Let's see if you're good for anything besides killing.
I feel the same rush of power pulse through me. My chest explodes in pain. I push past it. My insides feel like they're being torn apart. My vision blurs. For a second, I wonder if this thing inside me has decided that the best way to save her is to kill me. I can feel the power flow out through my hands and eyes into her corpse. Muscle knits beneath my hands, bones stitch themselves back together. The rabid toll Sergei's spell made through her closes up, skin closes over new muscle. As she heals, it feels like my insides are being torn apart. I hang on and keep pushing. Then I feel a heartbeat in her chest. She rears up from the floor, then falls back unconscious, but she's breathing. The bar empties out in a panic. Explosions. Gabriella runs back into the office.
We have to go! No fucking thanks to you! He got...
She stops as she sees Tabitha lying on the floor. Alive.
That... What the hell did you do?
I don't know.
The pain in my chest subsiding more quickly than in the storage room, but slower than I'd like. I just hope it was the right thing to do. I've animated corpses, but I've never done this before. I didn't know I could. And considering what I used to make happen, I'm not entirely sure I'm the one who did it. Gabriella stares at Tabitha breathing on the floor. No evidence of the massive hole that went straight through her. Gabriella snaps herself out of it, grabs my shoulder.
Come on, we have to go. Cops will be here any second.
I'm not going anywhere.
I get up, wipe blood from my hands onto my pants, pick up the Browning from the floor.
We can't be here when the cops show.
I pull a name tag and a Sharpie from my coat pocket. Write the word cop on the tag. Blood from my fingers coating the edges. Pump some juice into it and slap it onto my chest.
You can't be here. I need to be here.
Jesus! They'll take care of her!
And I need to make sure that happens. She needs... Fuck, I don't know what she needs. A hospital, probably. I'm not leaving her alone.
Then you better see this. That name tag's gonna do you fuck all if you can't explain what just happened out back. Come on.
I follow her out to the parking lot. Most of the cars are on fire. The explosions I heard. A couple near the back, a Honda and Tabitha Solstice, are fine.
What the fuck did he do?
Sergei turned back into Kettleman once he hit the parking lot. My guys opened up on him, but he chucked a fireball and did that to them.
There's no way anyone's left alive in those cars. It's like a bomb went off in each and every one of them. Sergei pulled out all the stops.
You froze! We fucking had him and you froze! Who the hell is that in there anyway?
Her name's Tabitha. She runs the place. She's a friend. I'm sorry.
A friend? I lost 8 people. 8 loyal people because you fucking got sentimental. Fuck!
We'll find him again.
Yeah? And who will he be this time, huh? And how are we gonna track him down without your fucking little gadget? How many more people am I gonna lose if we do find him? They trusted me. They trusted me to keep them safe. I'm not staying. Good luck with the cops.
The police are going to be here any second now. And once people realize nothing else is going to explode, the lot's going to fill up with looky-loos. Gabriella walks to a Lexus parked on the street.
You know your people knew full well what they were getting into.
Fuck you! They were my responsibility.
And Tabitha is mine!
Well, at least you got to save her. What the fuck did you do anyway?
I told you, I don't know. It just happened.
This was a complete clusterfuck. If you manage to talk your way out of this, call me. And then I'll figure out whether or not to fucking kill you!
Shit, this was a clusterfuck. But in the friend department, Tabitha is kind of the only game in town. I have no idea if she's gonna be okay. I head back inside and wait for the police to arrive. When the cops show, it doesn't take much to convince them I'm one of them. A little, these aren't the droids you're looking for, and some Sharpie magic can work wonders. I get some weird looks for wearing sunglasses in the middle of the night, but nobody says anything. The paramedics are confused as fuck. Tabitha's clothes show what looks like a gunshot. There's blood all over the place, bits of meat and bone, but she's got no wound. They don't know what to do with her, so they haul her into the back of an ambulance.
Is she gonna be okay?
I get in behind them. The paramedic shrugs.
Everything scans. Heartbeat, blood pressure, O2, it's all fine. Don't know why she's out, though. Could be anything. Drugs, trauma. We'll know more when we get her to the ER. She should be fine.
That right there is the problem. She should be fine. She should be awake and moving and generally pissed off at having been shot. But she's not, and I'm starting to get worried. I can think of half a dozen things worse than being dead, and to have no idea what I actually did to her.
You know her?
I almost say yes, and it's my fault she's like this. Like everything's my goddamn fault. But then I remember, I'm supposed to be a cop.
No, never seen her before.
Boy howdy, was that unexpected.
Alex appears in the passenger seat of the ambulance. He leans back to look at Tabitha.
Nice job patching up the hole, though.
The fuck do you want?
The paramedic looks at me, frowning.
Nothing. Are you okay, detective?
Ooh, detective! Are we playing cops and robbers now?
Alex makes finger guns at me.
Pew, 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 pew!
I don't say anything. I don't even look at him.
Are we not talking anymore? You're gonna hurt my feelings. And here I thought I graduated from hallucination to friend.
Sorry, where are you taking her?
Straight to hell is my guess.
UCLA Westwood. We'll be there in a few minutes.
I've done what I stuck around to do. They've got her ID, they'll get her squared away. There's nothing more I can do for her. We're a few blocks out from the bar. Far enough, I think.
Oh, a hospital! Yeah, that'll fix her right up. Only wait, no, it won't. She's gone, son. Been gone a long, long time.
Oh, man. This is so fucked up, you have no idea. The fuck are you talking about?
Sir?
I'd love to tell you. Can I?
Alex cocks his head like a dog, figuring out if he can eat the cat.
No, I don't think I can tell you that one. Rules. I hate rules. So many pissy little rules.
That's it. I've had enough.
Pull over.
Excuse me?
I draw the Browning, shove it in the paramedic's nose.
I said pull the fuck over.
The driver hits the brakes. The ambulance skids to a stop, everything in the back lurching. I push the back door open and jump out.
Now get her to the hospital, or I'll fucking hunt you down and kill you.
The driver hits the gas, leaving me standing in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard waving a gun. What little traffic there is at 3 in the morning backing up behind me. Some guy in a Porsche revs his engine, lays on his horn. I shoot out his windshield, put a couple of rounds into his passenger seat. The driver goes white, and if he hasn't pissed his pants, I'll be impressed.
Wow, you are an angry, angry man.
Gotta shoot something. And not much point in shooting you.
Hey, here's an idea. How about we take this someplace that isn't the middle of the street? Or would you like to talk more in jail?
You know what I did to her. You know what that power is that I drew on. I want some fucking answers. Who are you? What are you not telling me?
The traffic is building up around me. A couple brave souls have slowly edged past me, staring at me as I rant and wave the Browning around. To them, I'm just one more crazy fucker with a gun. They can't see Alex.
Lots, really. For your own good.
Mine or yours? You know what? Forget it. You won't answer me? I know someone who will.
The Porsche driver tries to move the car, and I stop him by pointing the gun at him. I go to the driver's side of the Porsche, my gun never wavering from the driver's head. He locks the door, but I pop it with a snap of my fingers and yank it open.
Out. Now.
Don't kill me, man!
The driver tumbles out, throwing his wallet and watch at me. I look at the surprisingly dry seat before I slide into it.
Thank you for not pissing on the seat. But don't honk at people. It's rude. Now get the fuck out of here.
I gun the engine, leaving the traumatized driver in the street. Alex appears in the bullet-filled passenger seat next to me.
You're thinking of going to see Santa Muerte, aren't you? You don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that, or you don't want me to do that. I haven't seen a little lady in a while. I'm sure she's worried sick about me. I'll pop on by, have a few laughs, introduce you to her. What do you say? Something tells me she'd just love to meet you.
You know, I don't like you when you're angry. You get all sarcastic.
Then tell me what's going on.
How about I show you instead? This is a good spot for it. Park the car.
We're just coming up on Hancock Park in the La Brea tar pits. I pull the Porsche over. Alex is gone before I even pull the key. But I can see him inside the park, just on the other side of the fence. I have to climb over it to get to him.
Lovely place, isn't it?
We're at the edge of the lake pit, the park's largest pool of liquid asphalt. Life-size mammoth statues, two adults and a baby, posed to recreate a grim scene, an Ice Age memento mori of fiberglass and cement. One of the adults is trapped in the tar, his mate and child bellowing from the shore.
Yeah, it's a hoot.
The tar pits are as much a cemetery as Death Trap. 40,000 years ago, everything from wolves to mammoths were trapped in the tar, stuck until they died of dehydration or were torn apart by predators. Nothing's died here in a long, long time, but I can feel it anyway, thick and fetid. A sense of death and desperation as the animals panicked and died.
I think so. Did you know that there are pits all around Mexico City? Some of them now just being rediscovered. Some that are never going to be found. Pits from before it was Tenochtitlan, a city on a lake. Before the Aztecs, before the Toltecs. Full of skulls. All of them the lives that the sun god, Huitzilopochtli, demanded before he even had a name. All so that he would rise in the east the next morning to keep the darkness at bay a little while longer. Hundreds, thousands of sacrifices.
Alex turns to me, spreads his arms out wide.
How many dead are here, Eric? I know you can feel them. They're old, buried, but they're not gone. All those animals who wandered too close, who died of starvation, fear. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dead. There might not be a bigger death pit in all of California.
The ground trembles, and I think we're having an earthquake. A hole opens up in the ground next to me, widens, deepens. I jump away from it, expected to fill with a geyser of liquid asphalt, thick, tarry oil, pull me down and leave me to rot like the animals that died here thousands of years ago. Instead, dirt and soil keep disappearing, deepening the pit. Wide, flat stones burst from the sides, click together, a spiral staircase descending into the darkness. Alex starts down the stairs.
You wanted answers, necromancer. Come on down and get them.
You're fucking kidding me, right? You want me to go with you down into a pit that just magically appeared in the ground?
I kick a rock over the side of the pit. It bounces off one of the stone steps and disappears into the darkness. I don't hear it land.
Oh, and bottomless too? You just really pulled out all the stops. Where's my skull cap? Do we get torches?
Allow me some mystery, jackass.
Why are you even walking? You don't need to walk.
He answers me with a raised middle finger. The darkness swallows him up. I cannot believe I'm actually considering this. I stand there, weighing my options. Follow and maybe get buried alive, maybe get some answers, or stand out here and get bupkis. Police sirens in the distance decide it for me. They're gonna find that Porsche in about 2 minutes. I pull up my phone and use it to light the steps. I follow Alex down into the pit.
I know I'm gonna regret this.
I guarantee you will.
A few circles down and the light above me fades. I look up and see the opening hundreds of feet above me, when it should only be a couple of dozen feet at most. Not long after, the cool night air becomes drier, hotter, the moisture disappearing like it's being sucked out by a vacuum cleaner. I keep walking, using my phone to light the way. Eventually, I hit the last step.
And here we are, my humble abode. Ta-da!
I step off the last stair into darkness so complete the paltry glow of my phone can't penetrate it. My feet clatter against something on the floor, and I freeze. No telling what he's got down here.
Impressive. And you know what? A little dark. A light would be awesome.
A soft glow rises along the walls, and I find myself in a long chamber carved out of stone. The walls are rough-hewn volcanic rock. I slide my phone back into my pocket. The floor is littered with skeletons, Bits of cloth and dried skin hang off them like cobwebs. Some with weapons, some with armor, all pointed in the same direction. They died trying to get to the far end of the room. Even if none of them left ghosts, I should feel something, some kind of twinge that tells me this is a mass grave. But there's nothing here.
Nice decor.
You like? I call it early Spanish conquistador.
I follow him to the far end of the room, stepping around bones as best I can. He stops at a jade statue of a man sitting cross-legged on the ground, gaunt with wiry muscles, his ribs showing his belly, empty with the outlines of organs pressing against the flesh. Though his head is a bare skull, there are eyes in his sockets that seem to cast an intensity of anger that's palpable. He's wearing an elaborate headdress adorned with feathers, a necklace made of eyeballs. Everything from the grinning skull face to the headdress to the loincloth between his legs seems to be carved from an entire block of jade.
You know that marriage deal you've got with Santa Muerte?
How could I forget it?
I'm the ex-husband.
It takes a few seconds for it to sink in. I crouch to get eye level with the angry-looking statue sitting on the floor. I've seen these designs before in other statuary, these different elements sculpted and carved by clumsier hands. As if those others were desperately trying to capture the essence of this thing right here.
Mictlan Tecuhtli. This isn't a statue. This is actually you, the King of Mictlan.
The things that Santa Annis told me are beginning to sound a lot more worrisome.
I'd give you a cigar, but, well, if you can find one in this mess, you're welcome to it.
Where are we?
Not under the La Brea tar pits, I can tell you that.
There's a familiarity to all this. It's not the conquistadors, the statue, or even the cave. It's the dry air that smells of dust and locked up rooms, the feeling that the world's been hollowed out and left to stagnate. I've felt that before in the vision I had of driving with Alex, and before that, when I visited Santa Muerte's realm.
This is Mictlan.
More Mictlan adjacent, a sub-basement of Mictlan.
I heard you were dead. Committed suicide.
Suicide's maybe not the word. My choice, and I'm dead, but gods don't die like people die. It's more like sleeping. You don't kill an idea, but sometimes you can bury it pretty damn deep. When the Spanish came, they took everything. Slaughtered my people with their ideas and words as much as they did with their swords. But we gave them syphilis, so, you know, there's that. But I got tired and people stopped believing. Or maybe it was the other way around. I don't know. So
you came here to die, and this is what happened to you?
He points to the carpet of bones.
Some of the Spanish figured out how to break into Mictlan. They figured they'd rape the heavens the way they raped the land. Did a number on the place. Chased me down, and I brought them here. They realized too late it was a trap. Their souls are still wandering around here somewhere.
And your wife, Santa Muerte?
I hate that name. She used to have such a beautiful name. Mictecatihuatl. A proud name, powerful. What is she now? Some third-rate saint for a religion that won't even acknowledge her. Some peasant goddess who has to hide herself behind the trappings of her conquerors.
He fixes his eyes on me and I can feel a burning hatred coming from him.
And she's not my wife anymore. She's yours.
That was not my idea. I was railroaded.
Doesn't matter. Point is, you're married to her now. And I wasn't even invited to the wedding. What do you know about the King of the Dead?
There are a lot of them.
Gods like to think they're the only game in town. But when you've got all of human history to work with, they tend to stack up on each other.
I've met a couple. Used to hang out with some of the Jereloa. Samdi, Cimetière.
Those aren't kings. Shepherds and keepers, maybe. But kings? Please. Compared to Mictlan Tecuhtli, they're nothing.
What's with the switch from first person to third?
I think I know, but I want to confirm it.
Because Mictlan Tecuhtli is a name and a title.
He lets me chew on that. My mind grabs onto that idea and worries it like a dog with a rat. The entity is the title. The title is the entity. The king is dead. Long live the king. Magic is based on belief, and belief takes that shit seriously. It's like a logic puzzle by M.C. Escher. None of the conclusions have to make sense. They just need to be logical. The pieces start to click into place. Mictlan Tecuhtli is the king of the dead. The king of the dead is the husband of Santa Muerte. I'm the husband of Santa Muerte, and if I'm the husband of Santa Muerte, then I'm...
Fuck me.
We have a winner! Welcome home, O Lord of Mictlan.
The power I tapped into on the train, that I used to kill those demons, downtown that I used to heal Tabitha, this is where it came from. It's his power, now mine. Except...
There's two of us, and if I'm Lord of Mictlan, then what are you? Why can't I use that power when I want it? It comes and goes.
I've always been around, but constrained. Watching the world go by, observing things. But when you married Mictecatihuatl, I woke up as an entirely right. Became aware of you? Something like that. You're becoming more like me, I'm becoming more like you. You're being rewritten on a cosmic scale. We both are. That's how I'm able to appear to you. How I can pluck bits and pieces from your head.
That's how you know about Alex.
That, and how I can appear to you at all. And also how I managed to get past that funky new tattoo you got. I was already in the house before you locked the door, so to speak. Sometimes I can show up. Other times, there's interference. I'm not sure from where, but I can guess. Point is, we've got a link to each other. I can't read your thoughts, but I can pull enough to get an idea of what's going on.
What about your power? Is that interference too? Is that why I can't use it all the time?
Well, that's just time. It's early days, yet right now all you can do is touch it. The fact that you can use it at all right now is not a good sign for you.
It's then that I realized that I don't get the whole package until I'm completely him. What the winds told me makes sense now. Calling me the King of the Dead. Talking about the old king and the new one. Two things in particular, they said, come up floating in my memory. Watch the false friend. Well, that one's obvious. I've been wondering about Alex since I heard his voice on the steps of the Griffith Observatory. But what about the wind's other advice? Beware the dead king. Can Mictlan Tecuhtli be trusted? Can the winds? There has to be another angle here. There always is.
Muerte wants a new king for Mictlan, and I fit the bill.
She doesn't want the new king. She wants the old king back. I was with her for thousands of years. You think she wants some punk to rule by her side? Please. She's gonna wait until you're more me than you. Then she's gonna stick a knife between your ribs. The title of Mictlan Tecuhtli dumps into the best closest candidate. The new king dies, and the old one is reborn.
You come back to life.
And you're a sacrificial lamb. In theory. We talked about it a long time ago. In case something happened to either one of us. Not like we ever tried it. It might work. It might not. But even if it doesn't pan out, she's still gonna kill you.
I feel special.
I knew she wanted to use me for something. Now I know what.
Hey, that beats the alternative. For both of us. If she doesn't kill you, we just keep swapping places. Eventually, you're Mictlan Tecuhtli, and I'm just some schlub.
Sounds like I get the better end of the deal.
You think so?
He points at the jade statue's head.
Take a look at me. This is where you're headed. I made this choice. I want this. But you? Eternity's a long time stuck as a rock. I don't care about you. I really don't. But I like it here. I came down here for a reason. My time's over. I want to keep it that way. Your world sucks. I want no part of it.
The pain in my chest, like somebody was ripping out my insides, it's because of that, isn't it? When I use it, that's me changing.
I'm willing to bet you've got some interesting anatomy right about now. A bone or two here, a chunk of kidney. If a doctor opened you up, they'd be scratching their head.
How come I don't feel any different afterward?
Well, you're fine, technically. You'll keep on breathing, moving, all that. Until you don't. That pain is part of the process. I said you were being rewritten. I wasn't kidding. You're turning into everything I am. When you use that power and it stops hurting, that's when you should start to worry.
Say I don't believe you. How do I even know you're telling the truth?
You don't. And there's some things I can't tell you. Old agreements. I'd rather you did trust me because we're tied together, and it might help me keep you alive and me dead a little bit longer.
This isn't adding up. If I turn into you, how can she even kill me? I'll be a god. What the hell is she gonna shank me with?
Realization dawning in 3, 2, 1.
Ah, son of a bitch. The knife. She's the one who had Sergei steal the knife.
You're the slow one in the family, aren't you?
You're pretty sarcastic for a death god. So, if she had Sergei get the knife for her, why the hell is he running around skinning people?
It's a guess, but I think she doesn't have him on a very tight leash.
A guess?
It's not like we talk. I made the knife a long time ago for Shipe Totec.
The farm god.
Farm god? Please. He's a lot more than that. War, disease, rebirth. He's all over the map. That kind of thing will make a guy crazy. That knife can do a lot more than just take someone's skin. It can kill damn near anything, including other gods. When I gave it to him, the shit hit the fan, and everybody's all freaking out because I gave Mr. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs an instrument of mass slaughter. So Wei Wei Coyotl stole it and got some mortals to help hide it. That brujo you're hanging out with is from a long line of caretakers.
Much as I don't like it, I know he's right. The name sounds familiar, but I haven't had time to dig into all of them. It took me years to learn the names of all the voodoo loa. Most of them are ones you won't find in any books, and I doubt it will take any less time to learn these. Only I don't think I'm gonna have years to do it in.
Okay, so Muerte figures out where the knife is and sends Sergei after it. But he decides not to give it to her. Goes off the reservation. Why?
See these bones? These men were led by a priest who couldn't get into his own heaven, so he tried to take ours. Hoped to conquer us here the way his people conquered us in your world. From Mictlan, he could have moved to any of our other kingdoms.
Didn't get very far, did he?
He got plenty far. But I was able to cut him off with his weapon when I lured him down here. I think Sergei's trying to do the same thing.
He probably could, I think of Kettleman. He's got a guy in his head who probably knows how to do it, but that would take a lot of power, right?
That would explain why he wants the ebony cage.
There's another way.
He takes my skin. I have a connection to this place now, right?
Exactly. He also gets your turning into jade problem, so even if he does, I doubt he'd last very long.
You know, this is educational and all, but I got priorities, and whether Sergei gets into Miquelon is not even on my list. So how is this even my problem? I need Sergei off my back, then I can figure out what to do about your crazy ex-wife.
It's your problem because you need that knife. It can kill gods, jackass. You need to kill her before she kills you, and if he gets into Miquelon with it, you're never gonna see it again.
No shit. But how the hell am I supposed to find him? If it's a choice between getting dead now or letting him go and getting dead later, I'll take later. I had one way to track him down, and that's...
The answer pops into my head. There's only one place he could be right now. He needs the ebony cage. It wasn't at the bar. I don't know if Tabitha told him where it is or not, but if she didn't, there's only one other person who would know where it is.
Vivian. He's at Vivian's. I need to get out of here. I need to get out of here now.
A pain, like my chest is being torn open by red-hot knives, hits me as steps carve their way into the wall and up to a new hole in the ceiling. It almost knocks me flat, but I catch myself before my knees buckle.
I wouldn't recommend you keep doing that. It'll just speed things up.
He looks up at the hole in the ceiling I've just created.
That said, I think you're getting the hang of this. Good luck. That should open up close to where you want to be right now.
The pain fades as I step onto the staircase. Not sure if it's going to disintegrate under me if I don't concentrate on it. I made this? It didn't feel like when I cast a spell. It just happened.
Remember to get that knife! If she gets it, we're both fucked!
Right now, I don't care about the knife. I don't care about the cage. I'm worried about Vivian, and that I might be too late. Miquelon Tecuhtli was right. The hole I opened comes up on the sidewalk right in front of Vivian's apartment building on Wilshire. Sergei already had a head start on me before I stepped into Miquelon. No telling if he's already here or not. Without the orb to show me where he is, I'm flying blind. I run into the building, pop the lock on the front door, and go inside. Stairs next to the elevator. I head up to her floor, taking steps two at a time. I've got the Browning drawn and a round chambered. I push through the fire door on her floor, and I can tell he's already here. If the crowd of sleepy, panicked neighbors gathered around her door doesn't give it away, the sound of fighting going on inside sure as hell does. I still have the high I'm a cop sticker on my chest, and I make the best of it.
LAPD.
Well, that was fast. I just called you guys.
Rich neighborhood. What the hell's going on?
We started hearing banging a few minutes ago. I guess it's her boyfriend. They started arguing, and then we heard that.
Thank you, but everybody please go back inside.
They all do, but there's no point knocking and playing the LAPD card. Nobody inside is going to answer. I go to kick the door open and stop when I notice the wards in the door. Of course she would have the place warded. If I'm lucky, the door just won't break. And if I'm not, she could have it set to do something nasty instead. Okay, how do I get in there? And then, like a kid waving his hand around in class because he thinks he knows the answer, the dark power of Miquelon Tecuhtli rears its ugly head. I may not be a god, not yet, but it seems I've got a god's power.
I have no idea what you think you can do, but now's a good time to do it.
Pain flares through my chest. If I wasn't ready for it, I'd be on the floor screaming. Even knowing it's coming doesn't help much. I stagger forward, my vision blurring from the agony. I try to brace myself against the door, but instead I just pass right on through it. I go solid again the second I'm through, and the pain subsides. Vivian's apartment is a mess. Furniture is overturned, books strewn across the floor. Vivian is behind a shield, blocking something I can't see that Sergei, as Kettleman, is throwing at her. His clothes are loose on him, the same ones he was wearing at the bar as the bouncer. I shoot Sergei. The bullets get about 3 inches from him and stop dead, clatter to the floor. I didn't really expect it to work, but I'm still disappointed. At least it distracted him enough that he stopped his attack. He turns his attention to me as Vivian lowers her shield. I pop another couple rounds at him. They may not get close, but he flinches, and in that split second of distraction, Vivian hits him with a wall of force that slams him across the room. Instead of shooting again, I run at him. Whatever he's got up keeps me from connecting, but his shield is like a suit, and it doesn't keep me from wrapping myself around it. I get him in a bear hug, using my momentum to keep him moving across the room. The Kettleman form doesn't have a lot of strength, and he can't break out of it. He could magic his way out, I'm sure. But something that Gabriella said about how the form the knife gives a person don't actually change the way they think comes to mind. He might be wearing Kettleman's skin and have his abilities, but Sergei's still a brute force kind of guy. At least I hope he is. He proves me right a second later when he bulks out into the bouncer. He's a little lighter than I remember Sergei being, so it makes sense. Sergei in the bouncer's clothes would be too tight, too restricting. I'm okay with that because I'm hoping Vivian's paying attention and will help me test a theory. I let go as soon as he changes forms, letting him throw me off. I hit the ground and roll, getting as far away from him as I can. In this form, he's got strength, sure, but he doesn't have any magic. His shield is down. So when Vivian hits him with another blast, it blows him straight out through the window of her four-story apartment. I'm hoping he doesn't change back to Kettleman. With my luck, that fucker will probably know how to fly. I run to the window and watch him fall, flipping back and forth through bodies, and when he hits the ground, he's the bouncer. It's a bad fall. Lands on his head and his neck snaps. He lies there, not moving, twisted into angles human bodies aren't meant for. Vivian runs to me, wide-eyed, questions and accusations written on her face like newspaper headlines.
What the hell, Eric?
Wait for it!
Wait for what?
I'm hoping I'm wrong, and that Sergei's as dead as everybody whose skin he's taken. But then, the body convulses, shivers and dances around like it's being pumped full of electricity. Limbs right themselves, his neck snaps back into place. And when it's all back, the skin he's wearing, the poor dead bastard whose only fault was trying to be a bouncer for a bar in Koreatown, sloughs off like melted wax, leaving a stunned and visibly shaken Sergei in its place. I pop off a couple of rounds from the Browning. I know I won't hit him from this range, but you can't blame a guy for trying. The gunshots shake him out of his stupor and he scrambles to his feet, a look of panic on his face. He bolts down the street.
Yeah, you better run, you son of a bitch!